Hey everyone, this is Dave Cabin, and you're listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. On the Highlight Reel, we feature the top articles on RotoViz.com and get an extended insight into the writer's process and findings. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to RotoViz.com to check out the site. Today, we'll be looking at the ultimate zero running back watch list as well as bold predictions. And I'm really excited to be joined by my first returning guest to the show, Court Smith, who, as I'm sure you know, is not only a major contributor to the site, but he's also one of our editors. Welcome to the show, Court. How's it going?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. We have the first week for some people of the playoffs starting in about a half hour from now, so yeah. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, and there's certainly some big guys going in this game. I know we were talking some sit starts in the Slack channel, and Trevor Siemian is a name that came up a few times. A lot of us are QB streamers, so we're facing Siemian versus Gabbert type decisions this week, so... of course, Demaryius Thomas should be looking okay against a pretty shaky Colts secondary. And I know Emmanuel Sanders was another pretty big RotoViz guy this year, and he's been brutal lately. So a lot of people wondering if he's worth throwing in the lineup tonight. So I don't know. As a Broncos fan, I'm not too excited for this game, but as a fantasy player, definitely lots of things to watch.
Oh, wow. I did not know that you're a Broncos fan.
It's been a long year.
So
a long year.
Just to give the listeners a... as you can probably tell by the accent, I'm assuming, Court is from Canada. So how did you end up as a Broncos fan?
It's kind of a long story. I'll give you the short version. Okay. But basically, I grew up in northern Alberta. And as you may or may not know, Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Broncos, is a northern Alberta guy. He made his fortunes in the old oil fields in Alberta back in the late 70s and 80s. So kind of a family connection there. My uncle, Court, who is my namesake, he had a bit of a working relationship with him. He did some accounting for him back in the 80s. So it was just one of those things where growing up in my house, that was the team on the TV and the one that everyone was cheering for, and I got to watch Elway growing up, so just kind of fell in love with Elway and the orange unis and stuff, and that was about that was it. I was kind of done for life.
Awesome. So, well, yeah, during the day I am an accountant, so maybe I can find my way into working for a potential NFL owner. That would be awesome.
There you go. Yeah, you just got to find the up and comer for sure.
That's the way to do it.
But it's been a long year to be a Broncos fan. They had a decent start, and I was sort of thinking, okay, maybe they had something in Siemian, but you could make a case that the Broncos have the three worst quarterbacks in the NFL. It's been absolutely brutal. You really could. I mean, one guy after another, it's just been an absolute abomination, and then the defense is mailing it in now, so it's been a rough year, and I don't know what Vance Joseph is still doing there, but he's there, and we'll see. Hopefully they get a high pick this year and can find their quarterback for the future.
Yeah, that is something that they need to address. And for many of our fantasy teams out there, we've needed running backs. As everybody knows, we are a zero running back based site. I operate just about all of my teams outside maybe of some standard leagues with zero running back. And you've been keeping apprised of all of the AFC backfields this season, as well as making some bold predictions. So you can kind of just clue us in on what you've been up to during the season kind of your process that you're taking each week.
Sure. Yeah. Those were the, my two in-season articles. So, talking with Sean Siegel, he's been doing the zero RB for the last few years. Of course, he's sort of the godfather of the zero RB movement, and he's been doing that article and handed it off to myself and Blair Andrews this year. So obviously a big responsibility there. I know a lot of our readers are coming to us for that information. So I did that in the bold predictions. As far as the process goes, we've been publishing on Tuesday for Zero RB, making sure we get it out well ahead of time for the waivers and everything. So my process, I probably spend about 90% of my research in the RotoViz screener. Josh ADHD, of course, has been doing an awesome job making sure all our data gets updated first thing Monday morning for the Sunday game. So I've got, fresh data to look at Monday morning. So that's what I'm doing Monday morning. I'm just kind of shoulders deep in the screener. And the first thing I'm looking at is expected points. That's sort of become my... go to the first thing I'm sort of looking at, and just looking at expected points for the week. Who is getting the most valuable workloads? How is it changing week to week? How is it changing relative to the other teammates in the backfield? So a lot of that, I'm just kind of starting with EP and then going from there, maybe looking at a few efficiency metrics, and then just looking at game flow and game situations and week-to-week changes, and just looking for some useful information that we can use.
Yeah, and I think we should take a second to mention, we had him on, Colm had him on one of his episodes, but as you mentioned, Josh ADHD has been doing a fantastic job with the apps, which are one of the things that, make your subscription to the site so powerful. And I know the season's winding down, but listen, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can get, a daily pass, I think, or a weekly pass even at this point, and get a sample to help you through those final weeks. So support the pod, go to rotoviz.com/podcast and get a 30% discount, and check out the screener, which, I don't know if we can say enough about it, but the screener is such a powerful tool to look at every week to get ready for the season. It is just awesome. As you mentioned, you've been using it to keep track of all of these running backs. I'm just wondering, how much of a challenge has it been to, make sure that you're staying apprised of everything that's going on in these backfields across the entire AFC?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real deep field, and I think that's why we decided this year to split up the column into AFC and NFC, just because there's so much information, there's so many players, all these situations are so fluid and constantly changing, that I think we decided it was best to kind of split it up between two people so that we could really get in depth. So, it's been a challenge in that it's very time consuming to kind of go through all these guys and make sure we're looking, under every single stone that we can. It's been a fascinating process as well, learning about, some of these guys. Austin Eckler is a guy I'd not heard of before the season, and he's come to be a little bit of a zero RB factor down the stretch. It's not too hard. It's not too challenging. I watch all the games. I'm keeping on top of these stuff on Sunday, so I sort of have a pretty good idea for what's going on. But the hard part really comes down to looking for something in the data that, isn't obvious. That's the challenge, and trying to find maybe a trend in there that we can exploit a little bit. That's, looking beyond the narratives, looking beyond the storylines. I mentioned Austin Eckler before. And he sort of made some noise, about a month ago, maybe? He started taking a bunch of touches from Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
And everyone started getting really excited and, throwing them to the top of the waiver wires. But, looking at that, it wasn't – he was taking a few snaps from Melvin Gordon, but it was a situation where Melvin Gordon was still getting the vast majority of the workload. And we didn't really have any reason to believe that Austin Eckler was taking over based on expected points. So I was recommending to the readers to kind of hold pad on that and, roster Eckler if you want to, but keep expectations low. So just stuff like that, trying to look through the noise a little bit and the narrative. That's the challenge, I think, because, the zero RB people, we see a guy put up a few points and we automatically want to get excited. So the challenge for me has been to sort of separate that noise from, what the actual expectation and what the probabilities are that person is going to be really contributing down the line.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear you mention expected points again, because I think that's one of those things that I should have been paying closer attention to each week, as it is a really good way to kind of gauge if there's guys out there that, you might not have been recognizing that you should target. So obviously, we are really winding down in many leagues. There's only 2 weeks left, but do you think that there are any zero RB candidates out there to be had that, you might be able to find on the wire?
I mean, honestly, I don't think there's any undiscovered gems that are really going to pop. I think there's definitely a bunch of guys that are on the fringe that could have some big weeks that might already be rostered. I'm thinking about guys like Matt Forte, Bilal Powell, guys like that, even Devontae Booker tonight. Wouldn't surprise me to see him put up a decent PPR game. But those are big risks. Those aren't guys that I'm confidently plugging into my lineup in the semifinal weeks for sure. So I don't know that there's any real undiscovered gems left. I think all the guys that really have a chance to have a big week at some point in the next few weeks are pretty much rostered, to be honest with you. But yeah, definitely some fringe guys you can maybe keep an eye on if you, you know, if you're behind in a matchup and you want to take a big risk on a, you know, a Matt Forte or someone like that, I think it's probably worthwhile. But at this point in the season, I don't know that there are any secrets really.
Yeah, I mean, that's to be expected, which is one of those reasons that I do think if you're operating a zero running back team, like, it's best to make sure that if you're in a league with blind bidding, you're using your dollars earlier on in the season. You can only hold on to them for so long.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of my favorite questions to ask guests that have come on later in the year. But what were some of your best and your worst zero running back calls? I've been looking forward to asking you this one.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with the best ones. I mean, I think that Rex Burkhead is a guy who was of interest to a lot of our readers for a lot of reasons. We were pretty high on him coming into the season, and you know, he started off okay, and then he got hurt, and you know, he was on the waiver in most of my leagues, and you know, I was recommending to people to keep rostering him because there was just so many good signs and so many good things that can happen with him. So that was really encouraging to see him sort of break out the last few weeks. Last week in particular was a little bit frustrating because he was just tearing it up in the first half, and then he completely disappeared in the second half. And that was a bit of a head scratcher. And then similar along those lines, like Marlon Mack was a guy who, you know, mid-season was a guy that was sort of emerging and everybody thought he was going to be a big zero RB target. But again, I've sort of recommended to people to lay off a little bit on Marlon Mack. Like, you know, I know one week we had Marlon Mack at top of the waiver wire over, you know, a guy like Burkhead. And the thing was that the value of the New England backfield is such that even though it's a frustrating timeshare, it's so valuable. It's so valuable compared to a team like the Colts, who are trailing, who have, you know, they're not running a lot of plays. They're a low volume offense with a bad quarterback. And even if Marlon Mack were to take over and Frank Gore were to, you know, get injured, you know, his EP is, his expected points are still not going to be as high as somebody like Rex Burkhead's. So that was cool to kind of see that come to fruition, where Marlon Mack was sort of, you know, faded back out to relevance and Rex Burkhead did well. So I was happy with that. As far as the worst calls preseason, I was really high on Spencer Ware and CJ Anderson. Obviously Ware, I mean, what can you do? The guy gets injured. You know, I don't think that's bad process, although I do think that given what we've seen from Kareem Hunt, it's possible that his role was not going to be as big as I believed it was going to be. CJ Anderson, though, for sure, huge disappointment, pretty bad call. I had really high expectations. I was taking him a lot in the fifth and sixth round. And even early in the season, I was recommending him as a guy that you should be targeting. He had good EP. The Broncos were playing a lot better. they were, you know, having decent game scripts, decent quarterback play, which, you know, makes a big difference, obviously. So that was a big miss to see kind of Devontae Booker fade out. Jamal Charles too with the Broncos, that was a bigger zero RB target. I wasn't as high on him as Sean Siegel was, which always makes me a little bit nervous when I'm not as high on a guy as Sean Siegel is.
Yep.
But that was a miss for us. There was a lot of opportunity there for Jamal Charles, and he just never really came through. And I should also mention, not maybe for best or worst, but most frustrating by far was Derrick Henry this year, and just sort of seeing how the Titans were sticking to that timeshare no matter what, no matter with, you know, whether DeMarco Murray was hurt or ineffective, whether they were leading, whether they were trailing. It was just sort of this infuriating 50-50 timeshare, and we saw some bursts from Derrick Henry, and I kept recommending, you know, to acquire him, spend your waiver bucks on him. And he had a few flashes, but really never came through. And so that was probably the most, you know, it's a bit of a miss. He had an okay season. He's not winning you any leagues. But that was definitely one of the more frustrating players to kind of monitor throughout the season, to see the kind of, you know, EP he had and the potential he had, and really a kind of all for naught.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I remember too early on in the season, there was some issues that Murray was having with health, and it looked like, you know, even though the organization had been resistant to really handing over the offense to Henry, you thought they might be forced into it. So, you know, it looked like a great opportunity for him. It just didn't.
Well, especially, I mean, it's not like it's not like we're talking about a fifth or sixth round guy here. They spent a high second rounder on him last year. So they're heavily invested in him. I mean, if you're spending a second round pick on a running back, why aren't you using him? You know what I mean? And I understand DeMarco Murray is a decent player. So it really was just a head scratcher. Yeah, I didn't get it at all beyond, even if he was looking bad, just the fact that he kind of, you know, had that draft capital they had invested in him. I just thought that they would give him a chance. It just made a whole lot of sense. But especially with the injury, the hamstring injury to Murray that was nagging all year, every week I was sort of waiting for the Henry breakout, and it never came.
Yeah, well, one player that I love for this week, who I mentioned today, is going to absolutely crush it, is Le'Veon Bell. He crushed it last week. I am really confident in him this week. I'm going to be looking to get him in every snake draft that I do on Draft for this week. So again, Draft is one of our favorite apps here at the site. Weekly DFS contests. No budget considerations. You just draft a snake lineup like you would, you know, heading into the regular season. Draft starts just $1. They work their way up. We've had a lot of fun using the app this year. Go to Draft in your app store or go to playdraft.com. And if you sign up now, you can still use the promo code RVRadio to get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. So head over there. Try to get Le'Veon Bell. I might even stack the entire Pittsburgh offense this week. I'm going to be trying to get Roethlisberger in there, Schuster, Brown, Bell, and then I guess I might have to pivot off for my final roster spot. But anyways, go to PlayDraft, playdraft.com, and get in on that action. So as far as the bold predictions go, what do you think were some of the boldest predictions that were made all season?
Well, I think by far the boldest prediction I made from a mathematical perspective was, so I usually do about three bold predictions every week. And one week I was feeling particularly confident, and I made a bonus fourth prediction that I would go 3 for 3 that week. Now I'm hitting about 11% on the year. My goal's 15%. So to go 3 for 3, so I ran the numbers on that. So to hit, let's say we had a 10% chance at each prediction. So to hit all three, there's a 0.1% chance of that happening. So
I like those about odds.
About 1,000 to 1 only. So so that was probably my worst prediction from a mathematical perspective. That said, I did get 2 of 3 that week, and that was my best week by far. So, and I think the third one was actually quite close. So
So
that was a bit of a heartbreaker. So mathematically, that was probably the boldest one that we had all year for sure.
Nice. And were there any that at the time when you made them, you thought they were just absolutely ridiculous, but they ended up coming true?
Well, you know, we had a couple guest spots this year. I always like to get a bit of a fresh perspective. So a few guest bold predictions, and a real interesting one came on Thanksgiving Day. We had a couple guest contributors, Colm Kelly, your fellow RV podcaster, and Charlie Klein Hexel, my fellow editor. They made a couple wide receiver predictions, and it came down to predicting that the Thanksgiving Day record for receptions, which is held by Brett Perryman with 12 receptions. He's the father of Breshad Perryman.
Wow, fun fact.
Well-known Ravens bus. He had 12 receptions back in the late 80s, I believe it was. So Colm predicted that Keenan Allen would tie the record of 12, and Charlie predicted that Jameson Crowder would get there with 12. That seemed a little bit ridiculous. I mean, anytime you're talking about overall records, I mean, you know, it's a long shot, right? Those are blue moon kind of games. Now that said, man, was it a fun sweat. Keenan Allen had 12 catches at halftime, and he was piling them up in the second, and he finished with 11, which was absolutely heartbreaking. That was, you know, it was sort of a moral victory, but we don't count moral victories in bold predictions. You got to get there. And then Jameson Crowder, he didn't I think he only had 7 or 8 receptions, but he had a career game, and I think he was around 140 some yards. So, you know, those guys nailed those ones, even though we didn't actually get there, but they both had sort of career type of days, that seemed, you know, like pretty much a long shot going in. I mean, who's going to predict Jamison Crowder of all people is going to pile up 140 yards, right? So, so those were a couple of cool ones that, seemed like a long shot that, came true. Another one, was, I was on a bit of a roll with Marquise Lee. Marquise Lee is my guy. I love Marquise Lee. So we had the previous week, I think I predicted that Marquise Lee was going to outscore AJ Green, and he did that. And then the next week I was sort of, you know, feeling my oats, and I got cocky, and I predicted that, Marquise Lee would outscore, he was playing the Chargers, he would outscore all of the Chargers wide receivers combined.
Oh my gosh.
Which was a little bit crazy. And you know, the funny thing about that prediction was originally I wrote it up and I had him outscoring just Keenan Allen and Tyrell Williams combined. It was, I think, the first or second game back for Mike Williams. But then I thought in my head, you know what would sound cool? If we did both Williams receivers instead. So I did all three of them. And if I would have just done the original prediction, I would have hit it. But because I threw in the second Williams receiver, we just missed it. So that one was a bit ridiculous to have Marquise Lee outscore not only Keenan Allen on his own, but three receivers combined. And we almost did it.
Yeah, that's actually really impressive. I have to say that, you know, that was probably one of the funner things too, you know, as a reader, just to check in on. And then, you know, to hear you talk about Marquise Lee, I think I used him probably like 3 or 4 weeks in the Fantasy Labs contest that we do. And I was just way off every single time. So he's been kind of like an Achilles heel for me this season.
Yeah, no, and I've got him going again this week. I was working on my column today, and I'm going back to the Marquise Lee. Well, the Jaguars are playing the Texans this weekend, and I've got Marquise Lee outscoring DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be interesting because, you know, I mean, that Jacksonville Jaguars pass defense is absolutely silly. And then DeAndre Hopkins is absolutely silly. So that's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. Part of that is, I'll admit, it's a bit of a reverse jinx there because I've got DeAndre Hopkins going in the semifinals of an Apex League of mine, and I really need a big score from him. So it's one of those things where, you know, I kind of hedge my bet a little bit because I'll predict that he's going to have a bad game. And if he does, then I win my prediction. And if he doesn't, then I should get a good game out of him for fantasy anyway.
Nice. So I like it. I want one more bold prediction that you can give us for the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, let's go Aaron Rodgers. I think we had a pretty interesting discussion about him over some email earlier today. Yep. And people debating whether he's worth a start or not. I'm going to predict, I predicted my column coming out tomorrow that he's a back-end QB2. So I'm saying QB18 or worse this week. And that comes down to partly matchup. Carolina, I believe, is sixth best for fantasy points against QBs in the league. Carolina's at home. So not a great matchup there, but really one of the rare times I'm going to go with a bit of a narrative here. And, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was out in week 6, they were talking out for the season, never mind the regular season. And all of a sudden he's back in week 15. So that seems very aggressive to me. And I have to think that the Packers are a little bit nervous about putting the franchise out there so soon. And that combined with Jamal Williams really just being on fire, I really see the Packers sort of, you know, running the heck out of Jamal Williams and trying to kind of negate any kind of pass rush to keep the bodies off of Aaron Rodgers. So that's sort of what I see happening in that game. So I think the Aaron Rodgers return is going to be a bit of a dud, and I see him finishing well off of a QB1 type of finish.
Wow, this is a bold call, because as you're saying that, I'm getting ready to do something that we try not to do on the highlight reel, which is to jump down the throat of the guest and start debating them. I respect Court's opinion, but I got to say, if you're listening to this, this is lunacy. Make sure that he gets in your lineup this weekend. You're not sitting Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what the circumstances are. Get him in your lineup.
I'm not going to argue with you there. I'm not saying that sitting Aaron Rodgers is a good move, but that's the beauty of bold predictions. I can just say a whole bunch of ridiculous stuff, and when it comes true, I get to say I told you so.
I like it. that is definitely the approach. So anyways, no, I those are always fun. I just have to make sure that, sometimes people have a tendency to maybe misinterpret what we mean sometimes, I think, right. In articles and making calls. One thing, since we're talking kind of about process and writing and stuff, I find is there's so many specifics that are unique to every reader's league that I find myself wanting to make caveats, which I think, it might seem like an odd thing to always be doing, but there's just so many specifics. So I think, when you're working through or you're reading these things, you got to try to take everything into context.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we can't address all of that stuff in every article, every different league setting and stuff. But it's been an awesome season in the RotoViz forums. A lot of us have been really active in the forums. Myself, Charlie, Hassan Rahim, and Justin Lipinski. We've all been in there.
Devin's always on there, Devin McIntyre.
Yeah, Devin and the contrarian, Sean Siegel, actually. He hasn't been doing any writing for us this year, but man, he's just been killing it on the forums and giving, customized advice. Yep. For everyone's team. So that's been a lot of fun, kind of publishing articles and then getting people with specific questions. So even though we haven't been able to do that, and between Twitter and guys like Eric Moody giving customized advice, mm-hmm. on Twitter, he does an awesome job. I think we've been doing a pretty good job of helping our readers out in that way, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned Moody, because I am blown away by, he just absolutely kills it on Twitter. He will answer with a thought out, thoughtful answer for every single person on Twitter. If a million people asked him a question, I'm confident that he would answer a million of those questions. It's crazy.
Oh, he's an absolute machine. And not only on Twitter, but for writing, he's been cranking out a lot of news type pieces when stuff happens, when Carson Wentz goes down, what's the effect, and cranking out an article on last minute and keeping our readers apprised of sort of fluid situations that aren't being addressed in other articles. And he's always at the Slack channel, and I'll see a message from him at 4 a.m. saying his article's ready to go, and we're like, Moody, do you ever sleep, man? What's going on here? You're a machine. So yeah, one of the hardest working guys in the industry, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I love, yeah, it too. Sometimes the message will be he'll make the pitch and then he'll be like, well, actually, I already wrote this. My daughter was up in the middle of the night, so I just figured I'd write an article. So
yeah, exactly.
Moody's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, any major takeaways or key lessons that you learned from doing the Zero Running Back article that you think we should think about going into next season?
You know what? It was a huge learning experience for me this year. Just being able to kind of work with Sean Siegel, pick his brain about stuff, get a better understanding for what it is that we're looking for. I've almost sort of done a 180. I mean, Zero RB has always sort of been a core principle for me the last few years, but I understood the theory of it, but I'm not sure I understood what kind of RBs we were looking for. Mm-hmm. So I think I've really made a change in that direction. Just an example, I used to think Zero RB was just about finding value late in drafts, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that meant for me, I was often drafting guys like Frank Gore. I wrote about that in the offseason, that Gore was a guy I was drafting quite a bit. And I didn't really understand that, yeah, Frank Gore is a value, but what sort of Sean has led me to see is that, yeah, he's a value, but you're missing opportunity when you draft Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're drafting Frank Gore in the sixth, that means you're not drafting Alvin Kamara in the sixth.
Yeah.
And that's a huge missed opportunity. So that was a big eye opener for me, kind of looking, seeing what it is we're looking in running backs. The big three, right? Are they on a good team? Do they have a solid workload? And do they have a path to a bigger, workman-like workload, a three-down workload. So that was why we were sort of on, a guy like Rex Burkhead, just because he had so many avenues to a big workload, right? Mm-hmm. Like Mike Gillislee could get hurt and Rex Burkhead can fill in. James White can get hurt, Rex Burkhead can fill in. So he just had so many paths to relevancy. So that was a big eye-opener for me. And then also, of course, we talked about it before, but expected points was something that I really started to key in on this year and sort of use that as a baseline for my decisions. And, and it's amazing how that sort of all evens out over time, right? Like a lot of times we're seeing guys with high EPs that just weren't getting the numbers. And eventually it's just sort of evens out. It all comes back to the middle eventually in terms of variance. So really just focusing on the workloads for guys rather than, you know, the bottom line. So really just focusing on the process and what it is, the workloads that these guys are being given rather than, you know, what their output is. It's, you know, very similar to, you know, playing poker or investing. It's all about the process. And if you make enough of the right bets, then eventually you're going to show a profit eventually, right? And I sort of started looking at RBs more in that way rather than chasing the points, I think.
Yeah, I like how you kind of ran us through some of that, because Sean does have such an awesome way, I think, of contextualizing these things and kind of giving you like thought processes that you can go through that are intuitive. So there's definitely a lot to learn, I think, not only just like in getting a deeper understanding of the whole philosophy, but it's interesting to hear you say, you know, actually going for the right type of player to fit into the philosophy. So I'm sure, you know, we're going to continue to have good results, I think, with zero running back, you know, on many teams as we move into next year. And I'm sure this article will be back and will still be an awesome read, which, I mean, I really think that, you know, this is one of those key things that when you're subscribing, it's worth your price of admission, because there's so much work to do if you're going zero running back with monitoring these backfields. But it's awesome when you have, especially this season, we had two different writers making their way through and we really knew exactly what was going on in these backfields. And then you couple that with Ben Gretsch's awesome, you know, advanced metrics piece each week, stealing signals. And it was just, it was an awesome season. Obviously, we're biased, but, you know, I'm still reading these articles as they're coming out, you know, like just like I was a couple of years ago before I was writing for the site. And I'm still learning so much every time I read them.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Ben's article and, you know, that article is just unbelievable. I said to Ben when he started writing that, I sent him a message saying that you know, it's not really fair, because, you know, a lot of the people in the industry sort of fall under the heading of very good writer or very good analyst, and he's sort of one of those guys that's both. And it's not really fair. He does incredible analysis, and he puts it in a way that's very accessible and intuitive. So I find myself reading him a lot, and sort of you know, having a lot of eureka moments, sometimes a bit of jealousy that I didn't think of that angle, you know. So, but that pushes me as a writer. So, you know, I think that's something very valuable. And for, you know, if I get value out of that as a writer, then I'm certain that our readers are getting value out of that as fantasy players as well. So, yeah, that article's been amazing. And working with Blair on the NFC side, I think he maybe had a bit of a bigger role there. The NFC was a little bit more fluid, I thought, this year, a little bit more interesting situations. So he did an awesome job sorting through most of that, except for Dallas, I got to say. I give Blair a bit of a hard time, because he was on when Zeke was suspended there. I know he was on Darren McFadden. So, yeah, when Ezekiel Elliott went down, I know he was tabbing Darren McFadden to take over there. So that was his one miss. But, hey, I had a couple misses too. So we're not going to win them all, that's for sure.
So as we look forward to the upcoming offseason, which, as I said, I think on a prior episode, is almost just as hectic, if not even a bit busier of a rush for us with all of this draft coverage coming up. What do you have in the works? You know, what can we expect from you?
Well, I think I'm going to head south, man. I'm going to head somewhere warm. I live up in Canada here, and January gets cold. So my plan is to head somewhere south and hunker down and come up with a whole bunch of article ideas and start writing them. I have a busy off season plan for sure. I want to do a whole bunch of writing for RotoViz this year. So I think I'll start with just kind of looking back at some of the misses and some of the, you know, I look at a guy like Mike Evans and just unpacking his season and what the heck went wrong. And so maybe looking at some of the disappointments from 2017 and asking if there's an opportunity there. I know a lot of people down on Evans this year, but I look at that as an opportunity, right? Like a lot of people were down on DeAndre Hopkins coming into this season, and that allowed people to get him in the third round, right? So That's what I'll be doing. I'm going to be looking at some of the misses from 2017 and asking if it's really a miss or if it's more of an opportunity, deconstructing. And then, of course, my favorite time of the year by far is rookie draft season. So we'll start digging into some of those prospects. Jordan Hoover's been doing an awesome job already, starting to get into that. And, you know, looking into some of these prospects and start breaking down the rookie class is always one of my favorite parts of the year for sure. So that's going to be the next few months, and I can't wait to get into it. The in-season's a lot of fun, but I like the off-season because you know, anything goes. They're all predictions at that point. There's no silly facts to get in the way of some of your analysis. You can just sort of, you know, postulate anything and put it out there and make it sound like it's a reasonable possibility. So I'm looking forward to that again, rather than, you know, the in-season sort of grind for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I am also, I think, kind of looking forward to just having freedom to explore different avenues, which you just don't have. You know, you have ideas during the season, but, you just don't have time to really expound on them when there's, you know, everything else going on just with your weekly articles. And you already have me excited to read this Mike Evans piece. So I'm going to hold that. I'm going to hold you to that. So if after about, you know, 2 weeks into the off season, I'm not seeing that, I'm going to have to hit you up on Slack and see, you know,
absolutely. Yeah. The 2018 DeAndre Hopkins, I'm calling it right now. I mean, just sort of weird. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be, you know, up there in the wide receiver one territory. And, so I think it's one of those things where it's just, a lot of statistical noise and, you know, I'm already looking at him in the second round, or I think he'll fall to the third round next year. He seems like kind of he'll be in that Keenan Allen-ish kind of second round range after this year, but looking forward to the opening of the MFLs and getting some fresh data and see where people like him for next year. And but yeah, I'm going to be looking for opportunities for 2018 early based on what we saw in 2017 for sure.
Awesome stuff, Court. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners do as well.
Pleasure, Dave. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, that is going to do it for today's edition of the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. I'm Dave Cabin. Find me on Twitter at DaveCabinFF. My guest was RotoViz.com editor and writer Court Smith at Court Knoll. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.